What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Liquor Talk, which starts right now. I'm your man, Victor, and today, joining me today, we got the brothers of Chew Radio in the house today. But Mr. Grantastic is starting us off today. How you doing, my brother?
Man, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it. Much of the love. You know, we had a great time when you came on Chew Nation. So, you know, we're fitting to chop it up. You know, we're going to do it again.
Yes, that was one great time. If y'all haven't, go ahead, go check that out. Go check that episode out. I think we were all dropping bombs on that episode, man. So y'all, if y'all haven't done so already, go check out that episode because that was one dynamic episode. You know what I'm saying? You got to experience three black men just going in, you know what I'm saying? So go ahead and check out that episode if you haven't done so already. But how things been going for y'all since the last time we talked?
Man, things have been good. You know, on Chew Nation, we've had like some interesting guests so far in season two. So we've had Dr. Wesley Muhammad. We have Rizla Islam. So we've had some real heavy hitters coming on and dropping some gems. So, you know, so we've been that. We had a great time when you came on. So we were just like, we're happy to be here. So we know it's going to be lit. We know it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great conversation. So, yeah, so everything's been good.
Yes, that's real. That's real. Now, the other half of Chew Radio is still a football practice. So we still, like I said, we're going to go ahead and get started. When he comes on, like I said, we'll come on. You know what I'm saying? So we are thinking about him, but we know.
Well, so that's father's duties. What happened when, you know, the dad's in the house, they hit with the kids. So,
yes. Yes. Shout out to all my dads out there doing them fatherly duties. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So shout out to y'all. So tell the people a little about Chew Radio.
So True Radio, you can look us up on the website, trueradio.net. We talk about Black empowerment. We talk about financial literacy. We talk about relationships, everything from an intellectual standpoint. We have a good time. You know, we chop it up with the bros. We have some of the ladies on there as well. So we always have a great time in True Radio on Monday nights, 8:30 Eastern. You can catch us. Holla at us.
That's real. That's real. So what made you guys get started with True Radio?
Well, Mr. Randy Chu's been with Chu. He started Chu Nation in 2013, I believe. So he's been doing this thing for a minute, even before it was called podcast, and it was like internet talk radio at that point. So he's been doing this for quite some time. I jumped on in 2020 during the pandemic, and we're just kind of taking it, revamping it, and just keep it rolling.
That's real. That's real. That's real. So what made you decide to want to jump on in 2020? Was it because the pandemic and you needed something to do, or was this something you were believing in this man's vision?
Actually, I'm not going to lie. At first, I was just, you know, like the homies in the back, and then topics and stuff kept coming up, and I'm like giving my perspective behind the scenes. You know, I'm an educator, so just like these are the things I also see and my experience and my work. So I was like, all right, so they're like, just come on an episode. And I was like, all right, cool. And just stuck. It was, you know, so I just been with True Radio ever since.
That's real. Oh, I got you. That's how it always happens. I've heard that from so many different podcasters. They'll just be having like background conversations and somebody hears it. That's just how they got started.
Yep. It is just how it happens. So.
Yeah, but you guys are like so naturals that I would think y'all have been rocking together longer, but y'all are like naturals at it.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, it's just, I think you find people where the chemistry just works. And, you know, and we're really good brothers on and off the camera. So that also helps, you know, because sometimes you can just be working with people and just have a work relationship. But we're really brothers off the camera as we are on the camera. So even we go at it, it don't faze us because we bros. So we're about helping each other build each other up, becoming better men, holding each other accountable. Like that's just what we do.
That's real. That's definitely real. So what's something about podcasting y'all wish you would have known before you got started in it?
Man, like there is a way to make money, but what I'm learning is that you can, if you create products and you talk about it on your podcast, that it works very well. And I see a lot of people who they'll start off with their podcast, then they'll write a book. And then that's what one of their seasons is just on their book. And I'm just like, that's brilliant. You can just write a book and each chapter is an episode and that is your that's your topic, and you're promoting it and people are buying it. So I'm seeing this from other people in the podcasting community of just, you can take your products and your talent and just kind of boost it with your podcasting platform. So I'm like, oh, like, you know, we got to get on it. I'm seeing other people do it. So why not?
Yeah, I'm seeing that as well. I'm like, look, I told some of my family members, look, we might need to start a business or something. And then once we get that thing started, I'm going to definitely shout out every episode on the podcast. You know what I'm saying? Because I had somebody sponsor me on the last couple of episodes last season of Liquor Talk. And they were like, they said they were doing numbers because of just getting shout-outs. I said, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It's just the power of the voice, you know, is, and I think that's where, because I know we'll get into dialogue a little later, but where we are as society right now, it's, we're listening to whoever's the loudest, not whoever is correct. So that's the thing. If your product is quiet, it may not be correct for somebody. When you get it out there, you start putting it out there, numbers start going up. So as we talk about the dynamics of relationships and the loud folks and what they got opposed to the people who are quiet, I'm just saying, it's just, you know, open mouths, you know, they always get fed. So you quiet with your product, you got to find a way to get a boost. Podcasting is the way. And, you know, a lot of people listen to, I know they listen to your show, they listen to ours. You can check the report. We got thousands and thousands of people listening in different states and different countries. So little products get boost and people go with the promo code. They'll go get that little 10%, 15% off and then, you know, rock with the product.
Yep, that's exactly how it does, because they be doing the same thing on YouTube. Nope. Use my code for 15% off. Yes, you have to. You have to definitely do it that way. You know what I'm saying? And the one thing I've learned is it's also, and what many people fail to do is people always look to the people at home to support. No, you got to just broaden that horizon.
Yep. No, I've definitely learned that going into business. You can't just rely on the people that you know. And there's some people who give advice like, you know, your first sale is in your contact list. That could be true, but for the same time, it's just those are the people going to be like, you know, that was a good idea. You know, your little business, you got to get out to people that just want to know what you're doing and just want your product. And they don't care about who you are. They just want good quality and they want a good quality product. And you got to get out to those people as well.
Yes, that's real. So you business owners listening to this, you need to be supporting your podcasters out there, because we're here to help you. You help me, I help you. It's too much money out here to be getting in 2021.
Yeah, no, and that's for real. And so many people with different talents, that's why I'm telling young people now, you know, they're like, they're trying to make it big in music. I'm like, yes, definitely work towards that. But there's practical ways that you can make money. First of all, we all need intro songs. So it's just like, hey, podcast, go around like, hey, what's your intro song look like? If it's trash, here, I got a better joint for you. That's the sale. So like I say, we'll put you on, be like, hey, such and such made a beat for the intro. Go holler at them for beats. And there you go. You got two jobs out of that.
That's real. That's definitely real. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Liquor Talk. Remember, the more you drink, the better we sound. I will be remiss in saying prayers up to all my people in Louisiana and also in New York, because I know you saw what happened with Hurricane Ida. I knew about Louisiana, but then I saw pictures of what happened in New York. I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen New York get flooded like that.
Yeah. It's been crazy. It's the one thing of being a teacher and being close to science teachers, because they're basically saying all this stuff before it happens. They're like, oh, our whole weather patterns up here are going to change because of the hurricane. And I'm like, I get it. But I was like, I didn't know it was going to impact this much. Especially in the New York, New Jersey area, just all the flooding and everything. I was like, wow. In Maryland, we had a tornado hit just because of the hurricane and it tore up Annapolis. And so, you know, just big up to everyone who's been in prayers to everyone who's been affected by the hurricane, not just in Louisiana, Mississippi, but just all up the East Coast, because it's been creating different storms and it's been devastating for a lot of communities.
Yes, it has been. And I was just like, and I know it always devastates us in the South, because like I said, I live in Florida. So, you know, I've seen the handful of storms that have just come through. But I ain't never seen it just go up the East Coast like that. I'm like, wow. Yeah.
And tore up everything, man. Tore up everything.
Yes.
A whole live tornado that landed in Maryland.
I'm like, wow. I never thought I'd see a tornado in Maryland. Because I always, you're always fascinated by that because it's like I always know up north it's just the main thing y'all gotta deal with is snow. It's like I never thought y'all had to deal with a hurricane.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's the one thing, because you in Florida, man, y'all weather. I went down for Christmas one time. It just disturbed my soul. It was like 70 degrees on Christmas Day. And I was confused because we're opening gifts. I'm like, I'm hot. I'm sweating. Matter of fact, it's humid. Why is it this hot on Christmas? I don't know how y'all do this all year round. I mean, it's beautiful, though. It's just always la hot in Florida. So,
yes, it is. We deal with it. We just find ways to deal with the hot and the humidity. Well, at least it wasn't 80, because I remember one year it was 85 degrees on Christmas. I'm like, wow.
Nah. Mm. We don't even really do Christmas like that, but it's still the expectation of like it's snow outside or it's ice outside or it's just cold. It's Christmas. And I was in shorts in Christmas in Florida. It confused me. I didn't know what I was supposed to do in my life. I got in the pool.
Yeah, I mean, but Florida weather be so bipolar. Like, it'll be cold, it'll be like hot on that day of Christmas, but then a few days after Christmas, that's when it wants to be cold. So,
And speaking with this hurricanes and all the conditions, y'all have like hurricane on speed dial in Florida. Like, it'll be just sunny, it's a great day, and then the thunderstorm. It's just you just drench out of nowhere, and then it's just gone, and everyone just comes back out, just do whatever they do.
Yes, that's so true. Here he is. We got Mr. Chu in the house. How you doing, my brother?
What's good, man?
I see you just wrapped up practice. I appreciate you coming on, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. It's all love, bro. I'm leaving the football field. Both of my sons had football practice that ran over today, and these coaches don't like to communicate.
Understood. It's fatherly duties, man. We just came in, we talking about the weather and stuff and how it's like how the hurricanes have just affected the whole East Coast, you know what I'm saying?
Facts.
Man, my home city got destroyed in Annapolis, Maryland, where I'm originally from. Man, we got our main strip is called West Street. Man, everything except for the Burger King got destroyed on that joint. But the Burger King.
I guess the hurricane don't like Burger King.
Hurricane was like, nah. Like where that Chick-fil-A and Wendy's at?
right. Man, we gonna leave these Whoppers with cheese alone.
Mm-hmm. And we're gonna leave these new sandwiches they trying out and stuff, whatever.
Yeah. Has anyone tried their vegan burger? I just feel like it's something that I wouldn't even want to.
Burger King has a vegan burger?
Yes, they have a plant-based burger.
Yeah, they had a plant-based Whopper. I ain't never tried it. I'm like, no.
I can't even confirm that Whoppers are like real beef. So it's just like, I don't even want to know what your not real beef is going to be like. So I'm okay. I'm going to pass. I haven't had a Burger King. I haven't had even red meat in 2 years. So now I am. Burger King, I haven't eaten in plenty more years, so I'm a pass.
I haven't had Burger King in years, but unfortunately, I fell succumb to the red meat. I went like a couple weeks without it, but there was a food truck outside my apartment. I was like, you know what? I got to record tonight. Let me just grab a quick bite. So that happened.
Man, I fasted from red meat for about 2 hours.
At least you're honest.
That's what I was looking. I was like, Negro, you ain't give up for no red meat. You just ate a burger at the field. No.
Oh, man.
But now that you're here, Mr. Chu, tell a little bit. I'll tell people a little bit about Chu Radio and how you got it started and the whole nine yards about Chu Radio from your perspective.
Oh, man. So Chu Radio started in 2013. I got a homeboy that I call him my big bro. His name is Zoe Williams. He's on the West Coast. He actually had me as a guest on his show. And afterwards, me and him talked, and he was like, dude, you need your own show. You need your own platform. Now, mind you, this is 2013. So he was doing, they called it internet radio. And this was before podcasting was podcasting. You know what I'm saying? And So I tried it out, man. I did it, and I started in my garage. And, you know, now I'm in a studio, but I started in my garage, and I talked about controversial topics at first, you know, how, you know, the governments and stuff is trying to ruin society and got people thinking a certain way and got us divided and what we need to do to come together and unite and different things like that. Talked about financial literacy, talked about economic infrastructure building, talked about relationships, the whole nine, you know. So it was all in all, it was very intriguing and controversial, but good conversations. Had a lot of great guests, from Baba Dick Gregory to people that now are I'm not cool with no longer, like a Umar Johnson or Brother Polite, you know, different conscious people like that or whatever, that at the moment I thought was doing real good work. But, you know, time shows everything. I'll just say that. But yeah, but that's how True Radio got started, man. I took a little break. So 2017, I stopped. And last year in 2020, I relaunched it and brought it back up. So, and here we are, True Radio, every Monday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know what I mean?
That's real. That's real. And I'm happy y'all started back up, because y'all be having some dope conversations. And I was happy to be a part of it, man.
Yeah. Man, listen, So doing this podcast and stuff, man, sometimes you like to bring guests on, man, and you don't really know how they're gonna be or how they're gonna respond, how their energy is gonna be, man. But when we invited you on the True Radio, we had a whole month of collaboration. And man, I have to say, man, you was one of the brightest ones, bro. You brought that energy, man. It was great, man.
Thank you, man. But hey, we got to bring that energy tonight now, you know what I'm saying? That's yeah, real.
Yes, sir.
That's real. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Liquor Talk. Now we got the full crew here. Let's go ahead and jump into some topics. So, fellas, have y'all listened to that Kanye West Donda album?
Donda.
I'm like, who starts an album like that?
Kanye West. Who the hell else would?
Kanye freaking West, bro.
It's like, I understand the premise behind it, I respect it, but I'm like, my nigga, I get it, it's your mama and all, but I'm like, who trying to hear that to start an album?
Well, go ahead, Jay. I'm gonna shut up on this one. Go ahead, Jay.
I think it's a very rough first listen. Like, if for a Kanye West, what you may be anticipating, it was a rough first listen. But it's very artistic, and I think you got to figure out what you like in it. I don't think it's a project that everyone's going to enjoy the full thing, the full throttle, but you kind of got to find your pieces in it, because it's very artistic. And honestly, I think, like, some people were surprised. I wasn't surprised by how he constructed the album, though. I really wasn't surprised. Not saying that I really enjoyed it, but I just really wasn't surprised.
Yeah.
Wow.
What you think, man?
I was disappointed. I thought that it was going to slam. I thought we was going to get another college dropout. You know, I thought we was going to phone in the release, and then he, you know, act like it got released without his permission, only to find out that he did get permission for it to be released. And so I was thinking, like, man, when I play this joint, it's going to be push play and just let it ride out, man. And I immediately got irritated at the first track.
The first track he got irritated.
Yeah. I got irritated, yo. And I just, like, man, I can't do it. Yeah.
I felt like it could have been better. I definitely agree with Mr. J. I definitely agree with it. You got to find your piece of what you like in it. But I'm just like, you know what? You just made this easier for Drake. You know what I'm saying? When he comes out with Certified Lover Boy, I'm like, you done made it easier for Drake, man.
Yeah.
Because of all this hype you've been building with these stadium shows and stuff, I'm thinking this going to be some straight fire. Like, I would say...
But what a part of Kanye, let's dive into this just for a second, okay? What part of Kanye has shown anybody this was going to be a part of what I call the collegiate trilogy. Like, I that's the one part I was trying to figure out why people were anticipating that. We haven't gotten that, the collegiate trilogy, since what, like, since before 07. That was 808s and Heartbreak. That's been gone for a while. That's why I was trying to figure out why people were even anticipating, maybe because of the hype. But, like, I mean, I think what Kanye has proven is that his narcissism is, like, the greatest, greatest promoter that I've seen in quite a long time.
I'm going to tell you why I anticipated it, right? I'm trying to drive with the light on so y'all can see me, so I can hurry up, get home, and get where I need to be so I can have a fire episode with Lick and Talk. You know what I'm saying? But Kanye West released a track. He did a remix, and the baby was on that remix.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot. I think the song was called Nah 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 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, man, that joint was fire to me. I was like, yo.
That joint was.
Yes, that joint was fire. That's what got me thinking about Donda. I'm like, okay, that joint is fire.
Yeah, and I just didn't feel that same energy on the album, you know? Maybe I need to go back and listen. I only listened to it once. Maybe I need to go back and listen to it again.
It's definitely, you gotta listen to it. Like, you, it's not a good first listen. Because whatever you're anticipating, it doesn't show, it doesn't bring that at all. You gotta, and you can't even go through it all. Because I try to do that too. I try to, like, just let it play. And I was like, no, let me find my tracks first. And then I'll just kind of hover there and then discover some new ones as the weeks go by.
Yeah.
Hey. And, I definitely feel like you definitely got to listen to it again, because it's like, because the last album that slapped for me that Kanye did was The Life of Pablo. That one slapped for me, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how y'all feeling about that one, but that one really slapped. So I'm like, I expected something along those lines, or something like My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, something to slap, because he's been hyping it up, only for it to be a letdown. But I really feel like we might have to just listen to it again and listen to it and find your element, though. I definitely agree with that.
But I think it's kind of similar to J. Cole's For Your Eyes Only album. I think this is what's happening with some of the artists. They're producing kind of very personal albums. Mm-hmm. In the midst of, like, as, like, we're expecting bangers, and then, like, J. Cole did For Your Eyes Only, and a lot of people were kind of disappointed because it was about this story of, like, his personal story of, like, you know, people in his life. And I think this is what we got with Donda. I think this was For Your Eyes Only, just the Kanye version. This was about his mother, his relationship, his, you know, his fight with his spirituality. You know, like, this is, and that's what I'm saying. Just like, you know, when people show you who they are, you got to believe them. Kanye's track record we're far away from the Collegiate Trilogy. We're far away from Twisted Fantasy. So it's like and Pablo, yes. But then you had, like, what, Jesus Is Lord? Mm-hmm. And it's like the elements in those were really, they are mellow and, you know, like, trippy mind kind of stuff. So it's just like, that's why I was like, I was disappointed at first. But then I realized, like, okay, he hasn't been going that route. He's going a different route. And this is kind of like, I had to hang it up of it being his personal album, like, For Your Eyes Only. And that's the way I could take it. It's just like, all right, this is just art. You know, this is, you know, he says he's the Walt Disney of hip hop or whatever. So this is his art. I'm going to just let it be his art and find, like, five songs I like.
Yeah.
Wow.
Real. That's definitely real. We're going to leave it right there with Kanye album. So listen, y'all go ahead and check out his album if y'all haven't done so already. Now, moving on. Now, you just left. Now, Mr. Chu just leaving football practice. This next topic actually deals with football. What do y'all think of this fake high school that really got over on ESPN? I'm like, how the hell does a fake high school get over on ESPN? And also, how the hell does a team being coached by with somebody who has a warrant for the arrest even hit the field? Like, what in the hell?
Man, listen, all I know is if you got the right connections with the right people, you can get away with a lot of stuff. And I don't think ESPN is a fluke or, like, it just happened by happenstance. None of that. I think it was planned for them to go on there. I don't care what ESPN try to say. But man, I don't know. I don't even like ESPN like that no more, because I feel like they pick and choose the wrong stuff to highlight, and then they talk bad about athletes a little bit too much for me. So I just never was really in the ESPN app, especially when LeBron James started the height of his career. But I think that coach should be arrested, number one. If you got a warrant out for your arrest, bro, and you on television, they know where you at. Like, come on now, let's be real. He should be definitely get locked up. And that team, that team needs to be dismantled and thrown in the trash. That's all I'm going to say.
Please, because I'm like, if you're going to do this, at least, and then y'all take it on one of the top schools out of Florida at that, in IMG Academy. I'm like, what y'all thought was going to happen?
Yeah, I don't know. And I definitely agree with Mr. Chu with that whole ESPN tip, because ESPN has degraded itself to really lazy journalism.
Yes, it has.
Very lazy journalism, to the point where it's like, these little things, I wouldn't even be surprised that ESPN knew and let this happen, because we can talk about this later on. Because, you know, they just pick random stupid topics to talk about for an hour. But it was crazy. It was very stupid. I'm also curious what's going to happen afterwards, because, you know, everyone tries fraud, but when people see it on television, they're like, maybe I can do this as well. So I don't think this is going to be the last of fake schools, because and it was in Ohio. They don't care about education. They just care about football. So I think people need to start really looking out. I think this is going to repeat quite often in those states where no one cares about your education and it's about football or it's about basketball. I think this is going to happen. Probably football, because you can put pads on and you can kind of look across the field and be like, I can't tell. He's 25 across the field. But, you know, I look, people are trying to do all the dumb stuff to get on ESPN. So I'm not surprised.
Yes, this really makes ESPN looks like a clown show for real. Because how the hell do y'all not do y'all due diligence? And then y'all want to go on the broadcast and say, oh, they told us this and they told us that. How are y'all not doing y'all verification of these guys and stuff? And then when I hear the stories about how these guys were sleeping on beds and they were homeless and they were robbing people just to eat, I'm like, what in the hell? So in a way, them being on ESPN exposed us to this fraud program, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I'm like, ESPN, how the hell y'all let this happen? Y'all got all this money. Disney got all this money behind y'all. Y'all got all this money from these leagues and stuff. Y'all let this happen?
Journalism. It's lazy journalism. Like, for real, LeBron will not even be in the playoffs, and that's all they'll talk about. It's just like, oh, so LeBron's watching the playoffs. Which all-star watches the playoffs better than LeBron? So it's every single day. It's lazy journalism. They actually really, they have to have a narrative and hold on to it. And they got to fill all these slots before football and everything starts coming back. So, you know, there's like, hey, we need something to talk about. We need some controversy. We got a slot. Put this fake ass school in there. Let's see what happens. Yeah. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. And that's why a lot of people will get their sports from YouTube posters and stuff. The only time I watch ESPN is if there's a game on and stuff. So other than that, I watch the YouTube creators, because they sound like they have more sense than half them analysts on ESPN.
Yeah, because them analysts, it's just the same narrative over and over again. And they contradict themselves quite often using their stats. They try to manipulate the stats to make one narrative one year. And then next year, like, they can't even decide who is better than LeBron this year. Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? No, it's you. That's how ESPN does. And I'm also learning, when it comes to these situations with these major corporations versus some kind of little guy, as much it's easy for us to be like, oh, that fake team, you know, blah, 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 blah. But like you said, this Disney is behind ESPN. You telling me you let a fake school get on national television? Really? That's what I'm saying. Like, someone at ESPN, I wouldn't put it aside that they planned this. Because there's more, there's something we're going to be talking about this for quite some time.
You know what? I think they planned it to give IMG Academy some highlights, because though these schools, where us, they don't give a damn that it's a fake school. We just gonna whoop your ass, you know what I'm saying?
We're just
gonna get some more shine for our guys, and we're gonna beat the crap out of y'all. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah,
that is ridiculous.
And every single one of them kids should get a scholarship somewhere right now, because all you have to do is like, I beat a 20-some-year-old at football. Just let me get on campus. Give me the full scholarship now. I only did it for two, three.
Hey, fellas. Today's not. Oh my god! I come home and there's a pipe that busted in my my laundry room basement. It's flooded, so I'm gonna hop off and take care of this in my house real quick.
All right. Damn. Hopefully you get that handle.
Yeah, I'm about to take care of it now.
Okay. All right, bro. Yeah, let me know how everything goes.
Hey, man, keep us posted, man.
I got you.
All right, y'all. Just look at all as we continue with Real Life Does Happen. But now continue with Mr. Grantesco here. Now you're a married man. Now, what do you think about a couple really charging somebody for not showing up for their wedding? You told me you saw this. I'm like, you want to charge somebody $240 and send them a whole invoice because they RSVP'd to your wedding and didn't show up. I'm like, that screen's broke to me. But what do you think?
I'm really torn on this because I hear you where it screams broke, but also from the perspective of someone who got married, had a wedding, and I had a whole table of people that did not show. What people don't understand is that, like, it's not just the one person. It's like that whole table. That is some G's. Like, G's, especially depending on where you are. Like, in Maryland, A cheap place for food alone is $55 a head per person in a wedding. That's the cheapest in Maryland. So, and that's just your food. That's not like, all right, now, because we're saying, is it cheap? What if I got an open bar? Open bar is calculated by the heads. That's another thing. It's also the chair. It's the chair at the table. It's the chair at the ceremony. It is the tablecloth. It is the table. And that, like, people don't understand. It's like, I get it. It's like, people on the other end, like, it screams broke. But it's like, you said you were coming. I literally paid $300, $400, $500 for you to sit and watch me get married, nigga. Watch me. So, and you don't show up and you don't say nothing. Nothing bad happened. You just no show. It's a little tacky, but I understand their pain. I really understand their pain. Mm-hmm. I remember I was at saying my vows. I just glanced over, someone consolidated the table. And I was like, oh, that was just, I can visually see the money just being spent for no reason. So I get it. So I think people may consider it tacky, but I get it, you know?
And now hearing they explain it, I kind of get it now as well. But now I'm like, we might have to figure out a way to do a small wedding, because that is just, that $55 a plate is just ridiculous. And then on top of that, if you, I can only imagine if you do it in another country or somewhere more expensive or exotic, it's going to be way more expensive.
If you do a destination wedding, that they're saying one person, that's not even like individual charges. That is like a smooth, like $600 per person. And then if y'all are a couple, see, that's what people don't realize too. That's two people. So all the price for one thing is being multiplied times two. And so that could be like $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 in some cases. However, I do agree is that I don't think weddings are even, again, being married, had a great time at my wedding. We didn't even spend that much money compared to some other people. And like, still, I was like, yo, we really could have cut costs. So smaller the wedding, the better. Like, you know, enjoy it, get a house. Like, you know, you trying to celebrate, you know, just, I think weddings are overrated too. I mean, they're good, they're cool, but I think they're overrated, especially if you're trying to build like family wealth after a while. They're a little overrated because it don't do nothing. You know, unless you're Nigerian, you're African or something, have a wedding, because those are great and you make money from those. So if you're from another country, definitely have a wedding. If you're American, you, really, who cares? So We'll have.
Yeah, I get that totally. And it's like, I understand, but now talking to you about, I understand both sides of it, because it's like, mm-hmm. wedding costs can be kind of tacky, but it's like, now I'm like, would it be, now I kind of see why it's like, maybe should people charge people ahead of time? Charge them ahead of time. Like, this is how much it costs for you to RSVP. Should they charge them ahead of time now?
But see, all right, I think with sending them the invoice, which is so petty. That is so petty. Though. I can't get over that. It's incredibly petty. But that, I think that's what pisses people off, because it's like, I'm actually paying for you to sit down and watch me get married. Like, essentially, that's what it is as a wedding. Because, like, I'm not asking you to pay. The only thing I ask you to do is bring a toaster. So when we, you know, if we, you know, you're doing the traditional route when we have our house, then, you know, we have a toaster in our house. In exchange, I'm going to have this nice chair for you to sit in, and this nice food, and this nice alcohol. Just show up and show out, have a good time, look pretty for the cameras. But, you know, you're just not doing your part. And I wonder if these individuals did not let the person know that they weren't going to make it. Because I had a friend, you know, him and his wife, someone like stole her wallet when they were at the Wendy's on the way to our wedding, and it had like their address and the car keys. So they were like, oh, we got to go to the house because the person has the address and the keys to the house. So, you know, we got to get there first. So I was like, I get that. But other people, but like, honestly, my wife and I, we thought about looking at the roster and see who didn't show up. But I was like, if we do that, like I start calculating and I'm starting seeing zeros, I'm like, y'all gonna be mad. So just don't do it. Just enjoy the day, baby, because, you know, I'm gonna start fighting people if we start looking at how many people didn't show up and say nothing.
Agreed. So people, bottom line, just enjoy the day. If you can afford it, go for it. If you know you can't afford one person not showing up, don't book it in advance. Please don't, because you're gonna be looking crazy.
Yeah, very true.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Liquor Talk. The more you drink, the better we sound. Moving on. So I hear this a lot of people. Now, some guys ask, at what point is it okay to like spend $1,000? Because I know some guys were like, hey, my woman want a boob job or a body done or something. I just gave her the money, or she wanted to go to school and I just made the investment and stuff. So at what point in a relationship do you feel like large investments like that are okay?
I think those large investments, I think, are okay when you know if you break something on your, you know, in this relationship treaty, and it will cost you a significant amount of money. Like, that's why I think some of those big investments, people are out here trying to play marriage like while dating. And if you're spending significant, and I'm not talking about a trip is different, because it's just like, yo, we're about to go enjoy this trip. Cool. If you want to fly her out, like, that's y'all business. But if you're asking this question, like, you don't have it enough that, like, okay, you know, like, when is the major investment? Then you probably should want to, you know, really wait until you know this is going to be a long-term relationship, opposed to just, you know, like, something heavy in the moment, you know, a summer fling. Because, you know, what, like, this past week, what apparently is cuffing season, preseason. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that. They got the whole schedule for cuffing.
Yeah, I saw that. And I'm like, some of y'all have got to be in y'all 30s still talking about some damn cuffing season.
Yo, yes, they are, though. But this is why all this stuff is happening. And that's all I was like saying earlier and kind of alluding to this kind of talk, is that the people who are loud right now, there's something wrong. And so the people who are like just like so belligerent and extremist right now in this relationship stuff, something's going on with you. Like, you got, like, heal first, please. Because if you're thinking about spending thousands and thousands of dollars on someone and you don't even know anything, you don't know if you're in a long-term relationship, that's just bad business. Take away relationship, just go into business. If you're like, all right, this field is going to end in 6 months, but I am going, like, oh, stock, I know this is going to crash in 6 months, but I'm just going to invest my money to see how it just turns out. That's bad investing. So it's just wait until you actually know it's a real long-term relationship. And that's honestly not less than 2 years. Because a lot of relationships I had were definitely a buck and a half, 2 years, and broke up easy. So that wasn't a long-term relationship. It was just like a long short term.
Yes, please do. And also, another thing people got to ask themselves for yourself is, would they do it for me? That's another thing you got to ask. It's not that me as a man, I look for that, but I say, you know what? If you do it for me, that will make me want to do it for you. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of women won't even break the bank for their man like that, but they expect a man to do that for them. And I know there's some men that are like that as well.
Yeah. Look, there's people who don't even want to break the emotional bank. Like, come on now. Like, for real, for real. So it's like, let's take it from this perspective. Like, you don't even know if you can be vulnerable in front of your girl. But yet, you don't even know if you can share emotions with this young lady. But yet, you think it's cool to invest thousands of dollars. And then flip that. It's just like, for ladies, it's like, you don't know if this guy is actually not cheating or nothing. He's not even showing you interest, not asking you questions or nothing. Doesn't want to connect. And you're like, all right, I need to invest all this into him. That's like, we got the relationship game backwards right now, because people are doing a lot of talking and it means nothing. At the end of the day, it just means nothing. Y'all just talking about numbers and stats and y'all not getting to know each other. You don't want a long-term relationship. You just want a situationship. That's what you want.
Yeah, but nobody wants to say that. Don't want to call it what it is, but they just want to keep up with the Joneses and spend all this money and stuff. It's like, no. And it's like you said, it's like the long-term investments, the big money investments need to come. We've been together for some years, because I also heard another story of a man going broke to impress a woman. I'm like, bruh. Now this guy told me how he went on the radio station. He told them how he went there to a very expensive restaurant in Florida. I think it's called Ocean Prime or something like that. A very, very expensive restaurant with a girl that on the first date, she's spending it like, she ordered the lobster, the filet mignon. She ordered the expensive champagne. You take her somewhere and she ordered all this stuff, direct up to about $300-something. You had to call somebody to cash app you just so we could cover it. I'm like, now that was tacky on her part, but why the hell some dudes be trying to start off like that, be going to these places? Like, I'm like, why?
Yeah, I don't know. I ain't gonna lie, I ain't gonna cap. I've done that a few times. However, I did that in my 20s, though. So that's another thing, too. I think what we're seeing now, we're seeing people playing these, like, relationship games in, like, their 30s and 40s. And it's like, that, like, impressing stuff is cool in your 20s, because that's what you're trying to do to the world. In your 20s, you're trying to impress the world. You know, you're like, I can buy alcohol now. Like, I can rent cars now. I can do all I want to do, blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to impress the world. And then this girl, but again, it's just like, you're still very mature at that point. People are doing these games in their 30s and 40s. This is what I am afraid of for the dating scene, because you got responsibilities at 30. You can't go broke trying to impress some chick and you can't pay your rent. Like,
And that's why I said, it's like, now I get it. Buddy said that this girl wasn't from around here. He wanted to impress her. I'm like, bruh, I know there are plenty of restaurants you could take a girl to and you ain't going to spend that amount of money.
Yo, hold on, Paul, but I ain't going to lie, though, because for my wife, I was going to go to a pretty like mid-grade, nothing like a Ruth Chris or anything like that, where you know you spend in at least $150 no matter what you do. So not like that, but it was like a cute first date. But I took her to Uno's, and because the restaurant we were going to go to had like a 4-hour wait for some reason. So we were like, bump that. We went, saw a movie, a horrible movie. Then we went to Uno's, but I forgot that Uno's, for like a chain restaurant, is hella expensive. And I spent like $150. I was like, okay. I mean, that's fine. Like, I got it. I just wasn't anticipating. So, you know, I think, fellas, got to do your research wherever you're taking this young lady. Please do your research. So if you don't got it, like, don't put that on the table first. You know, it is what it is. We got to get out this whole trying to impress people phase.
Also, if you make a suggestion and she balks at it, because a real woman going to be okay and she's going to enjoy the vibe no matter where you take her. You know what I'm saying? If you tell you want to take her somewhere cheap, like I'll be somewhere that she balks at it, that tell you right there, she kind of in it for the money. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the thing, is it's like, I think things, experiences and dating should be more unique than just status quo. Cause actually with my wife, everything I did before and like with other women was just the status quo, like same old shit, like flowers, you know, a restaurant. We did this, we did this. When I met my wife, I was at a point where I was sick of just the status quo. I wanted something different. So I wanted to start doing things more unique. And then that was actually just getting to know her and then be like, oh, okay, she likes this. Let's make this a date. And that's what it's like, that's what I'm kind of like surprised at these grown folks that can't figure out to do that. They're just like, I got to buy her a bag on the first date so she knows that I got money. It's like, but do y'all like each other? That's, I just want to know with people, do y'all even like each other?
Yes, is the chemistry, or y'all just trying to impress social media? Because I'm like, I'm not. Yeah. It's just too many people just trying to impress the gram and try to figure out who I done finessed and stuff. It's just too much.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's different out here, man, with the social media. That's, I like, you know, marriage is not easy, but I look at the dating scene and I'm like, shit, I'm staying here. It's crazy out there. Fuck that. I'm not with that. It's crazy out there.
Yes. Y'all better be smart like Mr. Grantastic over here. Y'all better find y'all somebody and just chill out, because this dating scene is not where it's at. This dating scene is truly the ghetto now.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be. That's the sad part. It doesn't have to be. It really don't have to be ghetto out here in these streets. It really don't have to be. Go ahead.
It doesn't really have to be, but the key is you got to find somebody that's into you. That's at the end of the day. Because if somebody's into you, they will bypass all the little things. They're not going to make you jump through all them hoops, you know what I'm saying? They're going to understand you, you know what I'm saying, if they're into you. But if they're not into you, of course they're going to be throwing up money. They're going to be looking at how much you're spending on them, because guess what? They're not really into you. They want the bag, not you.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm like, my question has been lately, and just talking to, you know, people and friends, they're just about the dating, and everyone has these random numbers. Like, where do you get these specific numbers? And like, so the whole thing, you know, women will be like, you gotta make six figures or I can't holler at you. And it's like, I'm not even arguing with that. My question was, but like, where'd you get that number? Like, just honestly, like, where did you get six figures from? Is that something? And we had a topic a couple of weeks ago. It was, is it important or is it imprinted? And it was like, is the six figures really important to you? Or is this something that's been imprinted on you by, because you're hearing other people say six figures? Like, that's where I'm kind of, you know, people have these stats and these attributes about people. And I'm like, but do you actually care about that? Like, do you want someone to care about you? You know, like that's, I've never heard that on like everyone's top five of what I'm looking for. I've never heard someone say they care about me. It's like your height, your money, your sex, your butt, like all this stuff. And I've never heard people be like, yo, I want the individual that actually really cares about me and likes me. I haven't been hearing that in years. It is just crazy out here.
Yeah, I haven't heard that in years. So it's like, if I ever hear that from somebody, then that's
very second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that very second. Okay, you the one. Forget
you
this.
The one. You'd be like, hold on, I ain't got a ring, but here, just here, hold on, Thanos, give me something. Here you go, I got a ring.
Brother Thanos.
Give me something, Thanos.
Yes, give him something. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Look and Talk. The more you drink, the better we sound. We done hit the point of the main topic of this conversation, which is, how do us men heal? How do people heal from traumatic situations? Because now we're going to start with you, Mr. Jack, because I know you done probably dealt with some situations. How did you heal from those situations before you met your wife?
I wish I could say I healed from most of them before I met my wife. Man, because marriage is like a shovel, man. As soon as you say I do, somebody's digging, everything that's bad as possible you deal with, it's going to flush out of you one way or another. But there were some milestones that I did take along the way, and really kind of for myself is just, I'm an internal thinker and talker. But I had to realize that there's, when you withhold a lot of things within, you can cloud things up. You can justify any bullshit you've done because you keep the conversation in here. You can justify anything in your head if you keep it in there. Because when you say it out loud, you know how sometimes we'll be like, okay, that did sound crazy. So for myself, I went to therapy. I had to take myself to therapy. It's not as if I was in such a depressing state that it was going to cause harm. But I know in here, I kept a lot in, and I was making just like really wrong decisions, patterns that I was seeing. And I was like, all right, like, you know, I should probably end this here. Like I wasn't dealing with myself. And as like, you know, what Mr. Chu, before he had to go handle the problems, we talked about his big bro, Zoe Williams, who talks a lot about relationships and how it really is a mirror. And what got me, first of all, was I had to be able to see what I was actually looking at. And that's what therapy helped me, was to actually begin to see the person who I am, like through a lens that's just not clouded by my past traumas. You know, like my dad wasn't home. He was in jail pretty much my whole entire life. Mother worked 2 or 3 jobs, tried to go to school. She was emotionally unavailable for pretty much my whole entire life because, you know, she made it out of her situation, and then, you know, survivor's remorse, you're taking care of the fam. So a lot of my childhood got put on the back burner because of that. So that was stuff I had to work through. And I realized that, like, I was looking at myself through, let's say, like a dirty lens, and like a lens that wasn't my own. I couldn't really see myself. So therapy helped me with that. And then also kind of with like reading Zoe Williams' books and understanding where he's coming from with this mirror aspect of relationships, like it's actually a reflection on you. I started learning in my marriage that like I had boundary issues with all the women that I dated before, and I never solved that issues with any of them. And it started to creep in my marriage. And that's why I realized through therapy that I had to start working on my boundary issues. And that's kind of really what it was. It was just taking steps and going to therapy because, you know, your friends are cool, you know. You can let them know stuff that's going on, but like the correction, they're biased. They're always going to be like, yo, man, like bump her, or nah, he ain't all that. But you got to get someone who's like looking at you through an entirely clear lens, no bias, no nothing, and start working on yourself. And you start identifying those things. And then you just got to kind of chop them down one by bit and learn from, you know, your mistakes and just start owning up to your shit and be responsible, honestly. Yeah,
exactly. I think a lot of things when it comes to healing, it's like, we definitely just got to own up to it. You know what I'm saying? We got to address it. Like, what could we have done better and stuff? And it's just, and I know for me personally, like having good friends, the ones that aren't going to be like, man, bump them and stuff. I have some that'll be in my ear like, hey, this is where you messed up at, and this is how you got to improve. And then as I got older, I started to see my weaknesses, because patience can be one of my weakness things. And so I had to overcome that because sometimes it's like you're going through the cycle over and over again, because it's like as soon as somebody makes one wrong move, you're like, here we go again. So it's just like having to focus on that person and not let the past creep up. So it's like, so sometimes it does take that. And also you got to realize where you done messed up at. And also you just got to own it and address it, because if you don't address it, your next relationships will address it. You know what I'm saying? And also, and I've said this on a lot of podcasts, like we definitely need to go to therapy. It's like Black people ain't nothing wrong with going to therapy. It's less, I don't understand why our parents' generation hated therapy, but it's like, no, we got to be the generation that says it's okay to go to therapy. It's okay to seek help. You know what I'm saying? Because once you fully heal or somewhat heal, mm-hmm. You're gonna make that next relationship easier. So it's like,
definitely,
I do believe that people will get into another relationship just to hurt somebody else or take it out on somebody else, and an innocent person. And I feel like it's a cycle we need to break.
Yeah, because people right now are just bag ladies and messenger bag dudes. They're just taking trauma to the next, and honestly, in even with kind of understanding the aspect of like these relationships is a mirror of what you're going through. So understanding that, because actually something happened just last night that was like really disappointing of a friend. So basically it's just like, so actually I can talk about this on air. So my wife and I, we had a miscarriage in July, and it was just very devastating for both of us, you know? And this happened July 12th. I'm never going to forget that day, how we felt that day. But like, you know, my wife is crushed. I'm crushed. I'm here making sure she's good. And like, I'm devastated. And I just kind of honestly just detached from the world. And I told my peoples, I was like, look, you know, like, if you didn't know, like, yeah, we were pregnant, we lost the baby. I'm just taking a little bit of time because I just, you know, I'm making sure my wife's good first. And then I gotta like heal from this, you know? And I didn't talk to people. I just honestly didn't have the energy to speak to people at all. Like when people will call, I'll look at the phone and I'm just like, I just don't have it in me. And people were getting mad. Like I had a friend last night that, I mean, like, and when I was able to talk to people, I texted them and be like, you know, like I was letting you know, I'm all right. I'm just checking in on you. See how you doing? Was hearing crickets, crickets, crickets. And I was like, I wonder if you're mad at me for how I went through this devastating moment. And that's exactly what it was. Person called me yesterday, was just like, oh, haven't heard from you in a while. And I'm just like, wow, like I told you what happened and you're mad at me for how I processed that. But you know, the funny part, it bothered me for a little bit. And I was just like, you know, I have to take responsibility for that. Because somewhere in the relationship, I created a codependent relationship with this person. And it was just like, because that's what also I suffered, I went through before. I was, especially years ago, codependency like crazy. And I was just like, you know something? I was like, this was really messed up, but I'm not even going to let it faze me too much because I had a part in this. I created this relationship somehow, some way, but I know how I'm going to handle it from now on. And just take it and move on because it's like, I'm, you know, I still got stuff to do. Like school's about to get started. I'm getting in the classroom and stuff. Like I ain't got time to be mad at people who don't have the energy enough to be compassionate about something devastating in my life to just be like, hey, I'm here whenever you're ready. So, and that's the maturity that we got to get to and understanding just like when things are going bad, sometimes, yeah, it is your fault. Sometimes you help create it, this relationship. And I got mad for a little bit, but I was like, you know something? I actually did have a part in this. And that's what I'm learning is this, like, what did I do to create this situation? Because I'm also a part of it. And then it helps me be able to solve these much quicker is because I can identify where I was in the equation.
That's real. Now I understand that, but sometimes in my cases, sometimes it'll just happen out of nowhere. The person is just not, I'm like, and sometimes you're looking dumbfounded, like, what the hell did I do? And you're trying to replay it over and over in your head. You're like, it's like, I don't get why it happened. But you know what? Sometimes it just got, you got to chalk it up as it's your loss, it's their loss, because maybe they just haven't healed from an ex and stuff. So now, how do you know you've healed from a certain situation?
Oh, man. I think when it's kind of like boxing, you know, you learn from life because it always want to swing on you. But it's like that left hook that keep hitting you. It's when you don't really dodge it all the way because, you know, it's clean hits first. It's clean. And then you start learning when you're like, all right, after those two straights, it's that left hook every time. All right, at least let me block this time. That's when you know, like, you're starting to make progress. Mm-hmm. And I think what's going on in our society is that we're, you know, they call it the microwave generation where we want everything fast. You don't just learn it and you master it. Like you really don't. You actually, the first step is being to identify it. That's the way you know that you're starting to learn is when you're like, oh, okay, you know something? I get hurt. I react in this way. This happens. That has been the cycle. And the ironic part, like people think, they'll say like, I'm healing. Oh yeah, girl, I'm doing self-love. I'm healing, still doing a cycle. It's not until you identify that you are on a cycle that you can't even begin to heal. Mm-hmm. You can't even start. And that's the first step to me is just like, you're like, oh, I'm recognizing what I do. And that's what therapy helps you. It gets you out of your head and sees your patterns. And it's just like, oh, you do this after this. And you got to sit there and like, you damn right I do. Mm-hmm. Identify and then you can start. At least, and for me, that's kind of how it's been.
Yeah.
Being able to identify has helped so much.
Yeah, it does. And also learning how to identify it too, because I remember one time I totally blew a chick off for no reason. I think because it was a damn hurricane of why I blew it off, because it's like the chick was like, oh my goodness, we might have to cancel because it's known for our safety. I'm like, are you serious? Because my mindset is, I don't give a damn what's going on. If I say I want to spend time with you, God damn it, I want to spend time with you. Nothing's going to stop me from spending time with you. And it's just, I realized,
ladies and gentlemen, Florida niggas, they don't care.
Yeah, like, I don't care. We're going to make it happen. I don't care. And I realized that was a toxic to happen for me because it's like, I expected people to have that same mindset. But I realized, oh, shit.
Was she from Florida?
I think she was from, I don't remember where the girl was from. I don't know if she was from Florida. I think she was from Georgia, I think.
Because after listening to the T-Pain interview on Drink Champs and him talking about Florida people having hurricane parties, I thought, like, when you mentioned it, I was like, oh, you are a Florida dude. Like, y'all don't care. Y'all are like, yo, I'll see you. I know it's windstorms of 40 miles per hour. Girl, that ain't nothing. It gets 70. Like, yo, like, that's...
Because sometimes we have a perfect... We can time it when it's going to hit, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's like, we got this window to go ahead and make something happen, you know what I'm saying? So if we're going to make something happen, let's go ahead and make something happen in this window before it actually hits.
Mm-hmm. So see, in that situation, kind of going back, you got to kind of think of... And this, again, this is about the uniqueness in the relationship, not the status quo. Because you got to be like, all right, cool. Like, I am from Florida. I do Florida shit. You may be a transplant, but you're not from Florida. So you don't understand all of the Florida shit. So I may have to give you this PowerPoint on, like, so the hurricane we got about, this is our window that we can party. And she'll be like, y'all party? Be like, we party.
Yes, we do.
we know our window. And as T-Pain said, he was like, if we're going to die, we're going to die together. And being from Maryland, I'm like, that is chaotic. But I get it. It's Florida people. You can't. I mean, hey, it's the culture there. And I think that's why, like, talking to each other, getting to know, even like, what is the culture in your state? Because I went to Texas not so long ago, got some crabs. And I was like, yo, where's the Old Bay? And the chick looked at me and said, what is Old Bay? And I almost cried.
Wow. She said, oh, it was Old Bay. Wow. But it's Old Bay.
And I almost got angry, but then I realized, I'm like, oh, we're far away from home. Like, I'm sorry. I should have brought my own can. This is where I made the mistake in this relationship.
I did the same thing. Listen, I did the same thing. I remember years ago, my friends got so mad at me because this chick said, oh, they want to pick up. We're going to go to the club. This chick was not even ready. I'm like, how the hell we done drove all the way out here and you ain't even ready? I'm like, but then I had to realize, nigga, you in California, you from Florida, because I have that punctuality in myself that sometimes I don't really run on color people time. So I'm like, I'm on, let's go. You know what I'm saying? I'm here, let's go. So it's definitely a culture thing. You definitely got to learn different cultures and stuff. And that's just a way of healing. And another sign you know you healed is when you can bring up somebody's name and you don't even trip about it, you know what I'm saying? It just rolls right off your back as if nothing happened. You're like, you can look at their Facebook story, see they got pregnant and laugh about it, you know what I'm saying? You're not even tripping about it, you know?
Yeah, you still sipping your yak and be like, you still was a bitch. But, you know, you keep moving on, you know?
Yeah, because I remember a common thing I noticed was a lot of women who did me wrong, the next nigga got them pregnant. And I'm like, I just took a sip of my yak and I was like, yep. All right.
Better you than me.
Yes, it is. Better you than, hey, bro, she your problem now. But why do you feel like it's important for men to try to take some steps in healing before pursuing anything else?
Man, because so if you go to blackdemographics.com, they break down the stats specifically. They talk about everyone, but they really highlight, stats on Blacks and African Americans in this country. We were talking about a trend earlier about like where marriage was good and solid in the Black community, where it crashed and where is it going? And around the 60s, I think it was the Black men. I think it was Black men first. Yeah, were less likely to get married. And then in the 70s, Black women were really, really, really less likely to get married. Like our marriage like stats crashed so much and, you know, led into the crack epidemic. So that's what we see that in the past. But then right since 2019, we've been seeing Black marriages on the rise and the most in decades. The reason why I think it's important because the millennials, kind of a little bit of Gen X, like we're changing the narrative. So it's like, as much as you hear that like Black men are against Black women on, you know, on Instagram and whatever, all these platforms, that's just the loud people who are not happy right now, right? But the stats are showing that we're actually marrying at higher rates now than we did, but you know, honestly, before the civil rights era. The reason why it's important is because right now it's a blossom of Black fathers, like just Mr. Randy Chu, Black fathers that are there for their kids, their wives, their families, and their communities. And they're able to keep these things up by not just quote unquote being healed, because you never really kind of get rid of everything, you know, but that journey that's like in like an active healing, because it's an action. It's not just, you know, you not say I'm healed and I'm healed, mm-hmm. but doing the work. And but like our generation of going to therapy, working on our issues, having conversations about it, this is leading to our marriage rates increasing. So the more that the Black man gets healed, the better the family does, the community does. You know, it's like we were a matriarchal society, not by choice. People forget that. Like, yes, the strong Black women, we love and appreciate them for everything they did, while, you know, Black men were snatched out of the house or killed or put in jail. But the thing is, that wasn't the society we wanted. That was created for us. And it hurt. It hurt the women, the mothers. It hurt the children. It definitely hurt the economy. Mm-hmm. And now that we're getting the family unit back together, that's what's actually helping the black family, the Black economy more than just, let's say, voting. Because as much as I know voting is important, everyone who fought for Joe Biden to get into the office, all those Black women, they got nothing. No one got anything. The Black family is what grows and empowers our community, is when we have our family intact. So that's why I say of just healing, very important, because Black fathers are needed. Black men are needed, period. Like, and we're definitely no shade or nothing to Black women, because they've been holding it down, I mean, incredibly, as much as they possibly can. But it's been for too long. We, like, Black men need to heal to get back into the rotation, because the family and the community needs you. The family and the community really needs Black men.
Yes.
Healing Black men.
Yes, we need healing Black men in the community, because without the Black man, there is no Black family, you know what I'm saying? Because a man has to be the head of the family, you know what I'm saying? So we need to take all the steps we need to take to heal and do whatever it takes, because we are needed in this community. Because I will admit, that's the one thing I've learned through podcasting, is that there are some Black women that genuinely love us and that need us and that they show it every day. It's just the bitter ones are the ones that are just loud and obnoxious for no reason. They're just bitter because they don't want to accept the fact that they choose the wrong Black men to pursue or whatever. So to my brothers, we need to take the steps to heal, do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes for you to heal, do it, because we got to take over in 21 and 22.
Exactly. I wholeheartedly agree.
Yes, yes. So tell the people, why should people subscribe to Chu Radio? Because I know y'all got a dope platform. Why do people need to check y'all out?
First of all, definitely you want to check out to get these insightful and controversial topics. We got people, again, Dr. Wesley Muhammad has been on, Brother Riza Islam. So we've had some people talk about some very controversial topics that come with evidence. That's what True Nation is all about, is about talking about the facts. We bring in stats to the table. We're looking at the CDC's platform. We're going to we're talking about facts. We also, you know, we interpret them, but that's where we're coming from. We're talking about trying to empower the Black community, helping brothers get to, again, healed and get to a spot where they're needed, helping women understanding just the evolution of a man, that what we're going through. That's what we do. We talk about also Chu Radio does real work in the community, feeding thousands and thousands of people during the pandemic. And like, that's just what we do. So we're about helping the community. We're about enlightening people and also having a good time and laughing and drinking, because you got to come and check us out. The Chew or Choke, you got to come check us out. So, you know, you got to come see it. We have a good time. So, you know, you definitely check us out, chewradio.net. We're on Mondays, 8:30 Eastern. Come holler at them.
Listen, I want to thank you for holding it down for Chu Rea tonight, man. You know what I'm saying? I know Mr. Chu, he has some business to handle, but you know what I'm saying? I appreciate him for popping in. I appreciate you guys for coming on tonight. You know what I'm saying? This was definitely a dope conversation. I definitely appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? And I also appreciate y'all for coming on short notice, because my original guests, like I said, they just flaked on me for no reason. I forgive them, you know what I'm saying? I understand things happen, but to my content creators and to my people out there, if something happens, please communicate.
Yep.
Please communicate. Let us know something. Just don't ghost us, you know what I'm saying? Because that'll make us not want to do business with you in the future. But to each his own. Thank you, the listener, for checking out this episode of Look and Talk. We are in the midst of season 4. We're taking over. I hope y'all enjoyed this episode. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, we are out this thing. Deuces, y'all. Deuces.